Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can I just lay out a suspicion?
Go ahead.
Are some of these guys responsible for these voicemails?
No.
Being us in the booth?
Yes. Yeah,
No.
They ask me to
just curate them.
You sure? You look like two of these calls.
these guys ask me the shit straight away.
Hold on. Which two?
I'll tell you after.
Three guys in there. You can see the corner over there. Yeah.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Welcome to Dr. After Dark, everybody. Phone number is 818-253-1693. And of course, those emails keep coming at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. Today, it is my privilege to welcome Ian Edwards, a friend of the Your Mom's House world. His Instagram is at Ian Edwards Comic. You can follow him there. And welcome.
Welcome, man. Good to meet you.
I noticed that we sort of, before you even sat down, we inundated you with racial humor of all types. mostly sort of anti-Semitism and with a smattering of racism for other races as well.
Yeah, that's how I know I was welcome. So. It would have been racist not to do all that.
I guess, right? You're home with us here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Imam's House is aware that Nadav counts us into the shows in Hebrew, and I noticed Ian was just like, oh.
I was like, how am I going to know when he gets to one? So I was like, shit, why didn't you tell me this before you started the Hebrew count?
Oh my goodness! So you're from New York originally?
Yeah, you're New York originally.
What part of the city?
Kind of originally, yeah. Long Island. And I started doing stand up in Long Island.
Wait, slow down. Sort of originally? where before that?
So this is the part of the story where I sound like a liar to people I just met.
Oh, I can't wait.
So when I meet people, I don't really want to talk to them.
I get it.
So when they ask me where I'm from,
New York.
I say New York.
Yeah.
But then
shorthand. Yeah. But see, I'm a doctor, and so I kind of know when I'm being given the incomplete story, my instinct just go, well, tell me more about that.
I saw that. You picked it up right away. So I say New York, and then we talk some more, longer than I expect to be talking. And then I say, oh, yeah, I'm from Jamaica, too. And then before New York. And then the person's like, eh? And then we keep talking some more. And then I said I was born in England. And the person's like, you told me you're from New York, you fucking liar.
I know, forget the fucking liar. I love this story. Yeah. I want more. What happened here?
So my parents are Jamaican, and so then they moved to England.
Now, I'm gonna have lots of questions. So, so Jamaica is its own principality or country now? What do you call it?
Yeah.
At one time, it was a British territory?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a connection there.
Right.
Do they have family back in Britain or something? Or what led to going to London?
There was like this thing where, you know, after like centuries of wars,
yes,
and devastation,
yeah,
in England,
fucking Jamaica over for a thousand years. Yeah, I got it.
but also with England, with like the World War and all that stuff that went on, and like then trying to rebuild their country, like they they had colonization in reverse,
right,
where people from all the territories that it owned would move to England and help them rebuild it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So my parents went like towards the end of that period.
So in the 50s or something, they were sort of 60s even?
Yeah, 60s.
People don't appreciate, I mean, you know, they think of the Second World War as some sort of, you know, ancient time.
Right.
And then there were the 60s, and there was some modern time. Uh-huh. But I actually was in England as a kid in London in 1966, And there were fucking burned out buildings. Yes. And bombed out buildings all over the place.
And all that shit needed to be fixed.
Yeah.
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 Damn, you saw that.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, I'll never forget it. I don't know how much of it I saw. I just remember seeing it and just like sort of shocked me because even in my little brain at the time, mm-hmm. I thought, well, that was mm-hmm. some other time that all happened. And because, you know, I think that's more of an American thing too. We were so, you know, disconnected geographically from it. It didn't have the same kind of interface all the time. Yeah. So they were in London. You were born in London. Interesting. Were you educated there first?
Yeah.
Do you remember all that?
Yeah, I remember. I stayed there till I was like 9, so I remember a lot of shit.
Because that's heavy, their educational system to grammar school, what we call grammar school. I think they call secondary school, don't they?
I think secondary school is after
grammar school. Is that after? Okay.
Yeah.
And but they it's not easy. They don't like, it's not gym and art, you know, painting, finger painting. It's like pretty rigorous. They put the kids through, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, the British education system is pretty, it's pretty
intense.
Solid.
It's intense.
Yeah.
And so then they came home.
Yeah, they moved to Jamaica.
And
then we were there for a minute. And then the Jamaican economy started kind of like not operating correctly.
So what did your folks do?
My father's like an engineer, electrician engineer. Uh-huh. And my mother, like she used to do something in England. She used to work for the telephone company.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was so old school back then, like plugging the lines.
Doing
Yeah.
Like one ringy dingy, two ringy.
Yeah. Let me connect you. Yes. And, you know, all that old shit. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's so weird that we're talking about this. We were watching Mrs. Maisel, my daughter and I. She's 30. Uh-huh. And one of the Maisel's jobs was doing that. And my daughter was like, what is that? What was happening then? I thought,
crazy that, you know, it's so, yeah. Like last night, last night, somebody we was with last night, like we mentioned George Foreman as a boxer.
Yeah.
And she was like, he was a boxer?
The grill guy?
It's just the grill guy? And you're like, shit.
With all the kids named George?
Like, yeah. Like they had no idea.
It's too weird.
It's so fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is. And I think, oh, here we go. There's George. And he was a great fighter, too.
Yeah.
He was brutal. That guy was strong as shit. And I think some of this is the phone, the millennials, and I don't know. They're not connected. I feel like I was more connected. People could have talked about, you know, Jack Benny, and I would know who they were talking about.
Yes.
And that was, I never saw him, but I knew who they were talking about.
Right.
Now there's like, huh? Who's Johnny Carson? What?
I can't even keep up with the stuff that's going on now.
Yeah.
It's not even an age thing.
Maybe that's it.
So much stuff that is available. You can't, before there was a limited amount of things that you were showing.
Yeah.
And then it was an amount of things that you could understand everything. And then there wasn't that much content. So they showed you, they use a lot of old content.
That's
true. So you could stay connected to the past.
Well, that's interesting. So you're saying two things. One was we'd all share the same content. We'd all see the same stuff.
Yes.
And on Saturday or late at night, they'd play the Cary Grant films. And you'd see those on TV and go, oh, that's what that is. Even if you just caught a glimpse of it at a corner of your eye.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. So weird. I wonder what this is all going to mean for this generation to be so disconnected from their past. It feels like they also disconnected from some of the principles and ideas of the country with that. It all just got, everything got left behind.
Right.
I don't know how you re-entrenched and all that really. So where in Long Island were you guys?
In Uniondale.
I don't know where Uniondale is.
You do?
Is it in the middle of the island? No, I don't know.
Oh, you don't. It's like, you ever heard of Hempstead?
Yeah.
It's right next to Hempstead.
Got it.
And it's a shame that I lived in a part of town that I have to mention the other part of town.
Yeah.
So people know where I was.
Well, I'm guessing there's a reason. What's the reason?
I guess Hempstead's more popular. Their sports teams were better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so did you go to school out there or did you go to college in the region or?
Yeah, I went to New York Institute of Technology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Were
you going to be an electrical engineer too?
Nah. I went there to become like a physical therapist.
Oh, okay.
And they have a biology program.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing it. And then we had the part where you have to dissect the fetal pig.
You didn't like that?
I mean, I couldn't find anything that was on that chart on that pig. And I felt like I cut through so many important veins and shit.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to get out of this.
I'm going to hurt
somebody. Yes. I'm going to jail.
And then comedy right away or?
Took some communication courses and stuff like that. And then got into comedy, you know, all by accident. But when you look back, it was all a part of whatever plan that I had no idea.
Tell me more about that.
Because when I went to that school,
yeah,
it was to play soccer because they had a second division, a D2 soccer program where I was trying to walk on and get a scholarship.
Yeah.
And then I went there for the biology, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know they had communications classes that had film and TV writing.
And you were just more interested in that.
Yeah. And then as electives, I started taking those as electives. And then I switched completely to that. And then I ended up doing comedy.
Comedy stand-up?
Stand-up.
And did you just go on an open mic or what happened? What was your first sort of, you know, usually there's a moment where people go, oh, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you that. I used to work at this Burger King and in Long Island. It's Newbridge Road and Hempstead Turnpike. So I used to work at the Burger King. And also, I told you the part where I'm an immigrant. And so just like assimilating into America, like all the stuff I know, nobody can really relate to when you first move to America. You know what I mean?
Because of where you grew up.
Because of where I grew up.
And you probably, I hear a very faint accent. Yeah. You probably had an accent back then.
Yeah, I had an accent. Strong accent.
Yeah.
And then like even the black people, right? The shit I grew up knowing, eating, liking as a black person is completely different than the black people I'm meeting. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So then,
there is... That's one of the interesting things that I think needs to be kind of contended with.
Mm-hmm.
African American mm-hmm. is not black, and it's not, right. And black is not a unified experience in America.
It's not.
It's a lot of different things, mm-hmm. and you share a lot of bullshit that mm-hmm. that everyone deals with darker skin, but it's not all the same experience.
It's not all the same experience,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I'm coming from a country that's black with a different culture.
Yeah.
But there's some similarities, like you said, but it's a different culture. So
completely.
I had to like learn how to like, without knowing what people are talking about, but try to be a part of the conversation.
Got it.
And
almost like a new language, almost like you didn't speak the language.
Yeah. Yes.
And so comedy came into that.
Yeah, there was a guy who worked at the Burger King. His name was Greg Ellis. He's funny as hell. Like the shift time would go faster because he was there. And I'm like, I'm behind the grill, putting the frozen meat patties in the grill. Greg is on the fish side, and this side is the burger side, so I can see both sides. But Greg is just like having everybody laughing, and I'm like laughing and shit. It's like, what is he doing, you know? And then I said, oh, when you're funny, like people like you.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
how old are you at that time?
I'm like. Like in my teens, late teens.
Yeah.
But I'm learning, like, but I got here and I was like frozen. Like, shit is just coming at me. Like, people are talking about things. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I speak English.
Yeah, right.
But I'm right. Like, I don't know what song you're talking about
because
that's not what I listen to.
Yeah.
I don't know when that happened in America
because
that shit didn't happen in Jamaica.
Right.
I don't know football, American football, the football I play, you kick it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know all these basketball games that you're talking about
because
I never seen them. We didn't have that channel. So I'm like, so most of the time, like, I like to interject with information on the topic, and watching Greg and seeing how he did comedy made me realize, oh, you don't have to know the topic. You just have to hear enough context to interject with something funny.
Yes.
And people will laugh and include you.
Yes.
So then.
It's pretty good insight for a 17-year-old, whatever you were.
I mean, because I had to figure something out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm this guy on the outside.
Yeah.
And everybody's having fun. And it's not like they didn't invite me. I just didn't know how to get in the door.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, comedy. So then I started to stop looking for, like, knowing all this information that was impossible to know. And see how to slide into conversations by being funny. And then that took a few years. And then one day...
Did you know you were funny already?
Yeah, because I was funny. When America was so fast.
Yeah.
Or I was just so confused and young at the time that I forgot that I used to be funny in Jamaica and England.
Yeah.
Jamaica and England, I was killing it.
You know, back.
I was killing it.
You could do a couple other venues for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I had the context of those countries to be funny.
Yeah.
Without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then, being in the Burger King and feeling outside on the outside in school and at work, and then seeing Greg, I was like, all right. It was a conscious thing too,
But you weren't thinking I'm gonna have a career in comedy.
No,
you're thinking
no.
I'm gonna get on with people with comedy, yeah. So I'm gonna get in.
Yeah, I wanted to be funny just to survive socially.
Yeah,
you know.
When did it become more?
So when it became more is like, so now I'm the second funniest person at Burger King.
Still the funniest.
Greg is still the funniest. Yeah, yeah. Like I'm his feature. You know what I'm saying? I'm opening for him on the grill. You know, I'm sneakily trying to be a tag team with him. You know, without him knowing, and I'm getting my jokes in there. People are liking me more and shit. And then to the point that they moved me to the drive-through to taking orders, and I'm always clowning. The drive-through is always like my first microphone. So I'm always like,
oh, interesting.
People come up.
Yeah.
They're giving their orders, and I'm like clowning, talking shit.
Yeah.
And then
People come back just to get a piece of that?
I mean, then I should have got a piece of what they ordered.
Yeah, I suppose. That's true. Yeah, Fair enough.
Yeah. Now that you think about it, Burger King owes me some money.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. So then one day I took some guy's order. And then he pulls up to the window because you can't see. He couldn't see me. They can't see you when they're giving your order. They say, hey, man, were you the one that took my order? I said, yeah. He said, you're funny, man. You should try comedy. And I never thought about that before. And as soon as he said it, something has never resonated with me so much.
That has got to be a first. Mm-hmm. That a customer at a Burger King drive-thru sets your career off.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so did you then, you didn't know what to do, I'm sure. Like, what do I do? How do I do that?
Well, as soon as he said it, I was like, that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Wow.
No question. Like that voice, I'm sure you have like a voice inside
these
you.
These moments, yeah.
Those moments that tell you.
To me, like feels like there was a voice.
I knew
something right then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was definitely that moment. So you're going to do comedy and you're going to figure out where to go. I knew there was a comedy club on Long Island called Governor's. Because there was a flea market. It was behind a flea market where we used to go spend our paychecks on a Friday.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'm going to go to Governor's. And went to Governor's to find out what night their open mics were. Started doing their mics. Watching their mics first. And then I was like, I got to build a set. So then I was like, whatever I say to people that's funny, I'm going to remember it. So I'd make a note of it. And then that's how I built my first set.
Do you tell stories too? Do you like telling stories as part of comedy or is it just?
Now I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I do.
Like that's a new thing.
Yeah. It's a newer thing. Yeah. But I still want it to be like all jokes.
Yeah, of course.
Not just like a time killer to get to.
Yes.
Finish the 45 minutes.
No, you need people laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's to me when I see you guys where I zero experience in comedy myself, but but I talked a lot to you guys, and that's the thing that's always astonishing to me, how you can keep people. I saw Ralphie May once take an audience apart, and I thought, wow, that was an astonishing thing to watch. You know, when I was a huge audience, about 3,000 people,
and I
watched waves going through the audience. I like the people, you know, lifting their heads up and crouching down with laughter. Uh-huh. And it was I talked to him the next day, and he goes, "Yeah, because that happens once in a while." He goes, "That's power, huh, man?" And I go, "Yeah, I don't even know what that was. I've never seen anything like that." So it must be fun to keep people still laughing.
Yeah, I worked with Ralphie too.
Oh no shit!
Like. I met him as a writer. We were both writers on More Sports.
Yep.
So then that bled into our comedy. But I met him in a writer's room. So yeah, Ralphie was... The thing about... You're saying about Ralphie. Sometimes when I... He wasn't as big as he got when I met him.
Yeah.
But I'd go see his sets. We'd perform at the same place. And he would be... as funny as you just described, but he wasn't getting that response.
Oh, interesting.
So it's so funny sometimes how, I don't know what it is yet in comedy sometimes. Like, I remember seeing Wanda Sykes and be like, she's funnier than what she's getting right now. And then all of a sudden, everything catches up with each, with itself. And there's the moment when they're doing what you described Ralphie doing.
Is that the audience catching up with them, or is it them sort of attuning the timing to the audience, or sort of listening to the audience? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is, but yeah. There is that moment. But once it's everything syncs up, it's on and popping. Like yeah. That person.
Does it keep going that way?
It keeps going that way. As long as they keep doing what they're doing, it's on and popping, and they're undeniable from that point on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of undeniable, I hope you're ready for what we got for you here today. This is a little different. You can be funny, and people are just funny generally in what's going on with in our world. Nadav, you're leaning in. Do we start with some voicemails, maybe?
Sure. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
All right.
What's up, armies? This is Anthony from Northern California. I have a question about sleepwalking. Pretty much as far as I can remember, into my childhood, I always did sleepwalk. I mean, never anything too crazy. Probably the craziest thing I ever did was I made my breakfast once and put it in the fridge and found it in the morning. I haven't really done anything like that in years, but one problem I do have is I sleep eat all the time.
Sheesh.
Like, I'll wake up in the morning and there's a pint of ice cream next to my bed, gone. Or, I'll find crumbs, crackers and stuff in my bed. It's every single night I pretty much get up and get something to eat. I don't remember it. So
yeah.
I was just wondering what is that?
It's sleep eating. Awesome. Yeah.
Thanks. I'll be coming up in May.
You bet. So sleep disturbances of that type are common. Essentially anything you can do awake, you can do in your sleep. Almost anything. And what people normally complain about is eating and sex. Because the partners don't like it so much when the partner is asleep and they're trying to have sex with you. So if it's eating and you can't control it, he could just as easily get in a car too. I mean, that happens sometimes as well. And it can be really, or you can fall down some stairs, things. So you really ought to get a sleep eval, see a sleep specialist. Something is disturbed in your sleep mechanisms. Sometimes it's a seizure activity. It's not seizure per se, but kind of has those qualities. And there's techniques that they can, and medication they can use to help kind of put a wrap on this a little bit, but it's hard.
Or he could get better roommates who stop eating shit and leaving it by his bed in the morning.
Making him think that he's
driving
up every
him crazy.
Night.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you should film it and put it's Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, to make sure it's him.
To make sure it's you.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
It might not be you.
And to be fair, people that have sleepwalking and sleep disturbances have all kinds of sleep disturbances, as I said, but not everything is you.
If you had a roommate that sleepwalk.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not going to fuck with him? Aren't you a normal human being to see an opportunity to have some fun?
Forget normal human being. Young male.
Young male.
Young
there
male.
You
it's
yeah.
on, right?
It's on.
Yeah, this is the equivalent to drawing a penis on his face.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So if we're a heavy sleeper, there'd be a penis on the face.
Yes,
if we're a light sleeper, we're going to fuck with you, make think you did something.
Yeah, you ate my ice cream. Buy me back the ice cream. So now I ate the ice cream, and now I get you to buy me back another ice cream.
I love it.
I'm just coming up as a roommate.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's it. So here's an email. It's about premature ejaculation. Is there a treatment for nutting too fast? Anytime I have sex within 45 to 60 seconds, that's it. I'm able to keep it going for another 5-10 minutes afterwards, but definitely doesn't feel the same and not as good the rest of sex. I'm 30. I've had this issue since I was 16. I assume being young, it was normal. Even with several partners over the years, it never makes a difference. To overcome this, I always start off with a lot of foreplay and make sure to get the woman to orgasm multiple times before we have sex. So sex just becomes a bonus, or in her case, she just calls it irritating. Doesn't really bother me too much, but just want to be able to go longer and always found it odd. It never changed over time. Keep it high and tight. Well, you're still young, so it will change over time. Just that you haven't waited long enough for one thing. But he's taking care of it the way you should take care of it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think he fixed it.
He fixed it, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And usually it's the case, all these kinds of issues about taking too long to ejaculate or too short to ejaculate can be worked out with a couple. They can figure out what's right. The only part I would say to him, though, is if he's I imagine it's oral sex he's doing before before intercourse. And if that's multiple times, your partner could be a little sensitive, right? So she's maybe greatly relieved that you only take 45 seconds. But even that might be a bit much. You might want to check in with her on that, which reminds me, back in the day when I was doing Loveline, we had a Jamaican guest. I can't remember. He was a musician. I can't remember who it was. But he went on for quite some time about oral sex and how it's not a Jamaican thing.
Yeah, it's not. There's
and I've never talked to anybody about it since. But
there's songs like ridiculing the men who do it.
Yeah.
And it's a sign of manhood to in Jamaica and dancehall culture to not do it. And don't ask me where it came from. I just hear it in the clubs. Well, I used to hear it in the clubs when I went to the clubs, but that's 100% like it's not a man thing to do, or it wasn't. Everything changes.
Yeah, hopefully it's
but it wasn't
up.
A man thing to do
okay,
in
so
Jamaica.
Maybe it's lightening up a little bit now.
Yeah, and if you did it, then you lied and said you didn't do
you
it.
You didn't tell anybody. Yeah. The other thing he impressed upon me was the, I forget exactly what he said, but his horror that women bleed. Sort of that was like, you do not know.
So that's why.
Is that part of the same?
I think that's a part of the, the reason, like, women bleed, so why am I putting my head down there?
Is that? I guess mean, so, because he, well, yeah, I,
it's
I
not
think
my thing, it's just.
I know, somebody I get to ask about this. Yeah. And I, my recollection is, and I may be quite a little inaccurate, but that somebody had called who was willing to have sex during a menstrual period, and this guy just freaked out, like, oh, no fucking way. How could you? You're some sort of, you're not even a human. It's sort of how he looked at the guy. So is that still a thing?
I don't know if it's still a thing. I haven't checked. But it that felt, was definitely a thing when I was growing
it
up.
It felt almost like it had a religious overtone to it, like somebody was like telling kids about it or something, because he was really adamant about it, upset about it. No?
I don't think a lot of, if there was, there's like, you know, the manliest, I don't think there's a religious thing to it, because the manliest of men, or like people who are even considered like criminals or bad boys, that's their stance. So it's I don't think it's a religious thing.
So it's not a purity thing or anything like that. Right. It's not that kind of stuff. It's just is the nature of the culture. It's so interesting. Do you think it has softened or? Maybe
I got to check.
I'd be curious to know.
I'm gonna go to a club next week and find out. Just see if the songs are still the same. If the songs are different, then I know it's changed. If I don't hear one song, there used to be like anti-gay songs too that were like hits. You know, like club bangers.
I'm trying now. Those are two different topics, though. They're not related, though, are they? Well, I guess they're not manly.
They're not related, but like
they're related.
It's
in the manly
all
thing.
the macho
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. All right. My husband was a freak accident, resulted in a complete dislocation of rib 2 and fractured rib 1. Takes 6 to 12 weeks to heal, but wondering when it's safe to have resume. Whatever is comfortable for him, whatever he can deal with.
Not yeah, me. Lady. No means no. Jesus.
Wait, what was the rest of that question?
She wants to know when they can have sex again.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, you know, it's like as soon as he can tolerate it. He's off the open.
I'm just impressed a wife wants to have sex. That's pretty impressive.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. She's a good woman.
Yeah.
Hope to get your thoughts on loneliness. Jesus Christ, where are these...
we got some fun voicemails too.
All right, let's get some voicemail. These are getting depressing. Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Drew. I'm a 23-year-old male from Kansas. I was just wondering, how important is attraction? Because I know there's always that bullshit of like, looks don't matter, whatever. But there's this girl I was seeing for a little bit that was super awesome, really dope. Like, we vibed out. Everything was great. We had sex one time when I was drunk, but every time we hung out sober, I didn't find her attractive really. And there was just no desire to have sex with her. And eventually that kind of killed things and I let it like die off and everything. Is that wrong? Do looks really not matter in a relationship, or is being sexually attracted to your partner
all right, got
an
it.
Essential part? That's what makes it. I don't fucking know. All Keep bettering it, brother. We'll see you later.
We will indeed. It sounds like they could have worked that out, because it doesn't sound like this guy is ever not drunk. This dude is. I mean, maybe he had a few minutes where he woke up there and sort of went, "What have I been doing?" He went right back in. So I'm more concerned about that man than your relationship with that woman. But okay. And maybe he's going to start a new trend where people get drunk and call this show. But leave voice messages.
It sounds like when he said he wasn't attracted to her was when he was sober.
Yeah,
so he just met her through beer goggles.
Yes, correct.
So in order for their relationship to continue, he just has to be an alcoholic.
That's what I'm saying. He's got that in hand. He's good with that. But to get a little more serious about it, using buddies kind of get, you know, she's probably drunk too. You know, using buddies can have a lot of sort of a, it's not really attraction. It's almost like shared, like they're sharing something.
Right, right.
And in that, using together, they have sort of a communion that they find appealing and get some high and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's not really attraction per se, but it is an interesting question, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how important is attraction in a relationship? And this is and I don't think there's a right or wrong, I'll frame it by, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, because people are all over the place with this stuff.
Right.
But what do you say?
So you brought up an interesting point about using buddies, which, you know, could mean anything. Could be something bad or it could be something good. Like a couple could like theme parks together.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that keeps them together.
Yeah, that's right.
Just going to or traveling or, you know, drugs or a specific drug, doing that together and looking forward to moments like that, like Molly. So, or they could just be in love. Some people don't even know why they're in the relationship. Could be one of those things, or it could be
some vestige of the past. It just fits, you know.
Yeah,
something's working. So it's let's think about this.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're both saying is something's got to glue people together,
right?
Right. And sometimes one of the things that happens when people have been together for a long time is they built a life together, and so they have all kinds of things that they share because of that. Even though it might not have been too strong at the beginning, it becomes strong because of the life they've built together,
right,
and the kids they love, and the experiences they have, and that kind of thing.
That's what they hope with arranged marriages.
But that's why that works. Yeah, it kind of works. I wouldn't wish that on somebody, but it does work. But I really feel very strongly that there's got to be something, you know, and sexual attraction and attraction is sort of the most common, I would say, wouldn't you say?
Right.
And whatever that something is, it's got to be something that you wake up every day remembering, experiencing, excited about, whatever it might be, that you want to be with that person in some sort of, I call it renewing or glue. It's like there's a renewal that's always there. And whatever that thing was there at the beginning, just like back to alcoholism again, it's like recovery. I used to say it's recovery from alcoholism. Like today I didn't drink. Today I'm excited about this person. Today I'm into it. And probably tomorrow you will be, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Unless there's something about it that is truly flimsy, that will just sort of melt away. I don't know what that would be.
His voicemail sounded totally flimsy.
Yeah.
And I feel like him calling drunk means that he also left some important shit out.
Oh, sure.
Like she could have broke up with him.
right.
And he's playing it off like he broke up with her.
Right.
Or maybe she got sober and he's not attracted to her. It's like, I'm not dating this sober chick.
Or when she's sober, she starts calling out some of his bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
So, His voicemail can be taken with, like, it's almost like how it's like looking at a CIA redacted report.
Yes.
With all the lines drawn through. Where's the full report here?
That was like your history you gave me, too.
Yeah.
Carefully
I left
redacted.
Some shit out. Yeah, yeah.
Left much shit out.
Yeah.
Yours was like, we'll leave this chapter out. We'll just start over here.
Yeah, yeah.
it's an important chapter.
Yeah, it's like I'm a different human being to you if I leave all that shit out.
To me, it's true.
Yeah, completely.
But embedded in here is a really important question, and it's something I think a bit about. I think it's not superficial. He said it was superficial to rely on attraction, whatever that is. It's all kinds of attraction too. I mean, people can be attracted just sexually without having, you know, feeling the person is necessarily beautiful or anything like that. They're just somehow there's a thing there. I think it's important. I think to minimize it and to sort of call it something superficial. And I mean, it's I'm not saying everyone has to feel that, but if somebody does feel that, it shouldn't be dismissed. I think it can be an important glue in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least I agree with you 100%. And at least in the beginning, like, the attraction might keep you, get you there and make you spend the time to get to know the person.
Yes.
And then you could fall in love with that part of the person.
And in a healthy relationship, that must happen then too. That must also be there, or else it does not work out.
Right.
I've noticed something else I've never talked about here, I don't think. When, you know, men will sometimes, men, you know, each man has his own sort of sweet spot, right? You can always tell each, you have a certain type and a certain this and a certain that. Mm-hmm. And when he finds a female partner, I'm talking about heterosexual couples, mm-hmm. who, he is into, like really into, and can say, will say things like, this is the love of my life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the women like that adoration so much that that's what is glue for them.
Right.
I've seen couples like that where the woman is so turned on by his being so turned on by her.
Yeah.
That's it. And men don't do that. I haven't seen the opposite. I haven't seen a man do that.
Like, I agree with you. Like, I'm from New York, so one of the places I'm from. So,
well, for everybody else, you're from there.
I'm from New York. I'm from New York, y'all.
Worked in the Burger King in Long Island.
Got the Burger King.
You know, people here don't appreciate how huge Long Island is. They think of it as just some little suburb. It's shit. How many? It must be 3 million people in that.
Yeah,
or
it's fucking big.
Yeah. So anyway, you're saying from New York.
Yeah, I'm from New York, so. Like, words mean nothing to New Yorkers. Like, you have to prove it to me. Like, don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me.
Interesting.
You know, so as a guy, like, I'm into, like, showing women I care for them.
How do you do that?
Just listening, going places, spending time. But sometimes that hasn't been good enough. Like,
this is important. So you mean focusing on them and listening to them and then responding accordingly with what you hear, right?
Yeah, and spending time with them and going places with them. And but then, you know, but I would find that what's more effective was like telling them how you feel about them as opposed to showing.
Well, that's interesting. And and a lot of people have trouble doing that.
Yeah, and that's me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm from New York. I'm showing you. I feel like there's more value in showing you. Like, anybody can tell you anything. But the person who's showing you really means it.
We're going to an interesting place here. Mm-hmm. So I like you, it feels uncomfortable to gush.
Right.
And riddle me this. Tell me if this is not true for you. Mm-hmm. When you see another male gushing, you think, he's manipulating her. What's he up to?
Yeah, it could be manipulative.
You immediately think that's what he's up to, right? Why is he doing that? Come on, that's not. That doesn't feel right to me. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if they manipulate or not, but it feels like something's not right. Something's up.
Yeah, exactly.
Women shouldn't trust that.
Yeah, because anybody can tell you anything, but somebody who does it really means it, and especially when you live in LA, where people promise you things you didn't ask them for and then don't deliver.
Yeah.
You're like, and you just, it's like, I'd just rather somebody show me.
How long have you been in Los Angeles now?
Oh, a long time, like almost 20 years.
How do you like it?
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're in a good part of town. This is a beautiful part of town.
Yeah, yeah.
And but even though it's so superficial, well, you're kind of away from the West Side stuff where you are.
I mean, it's I'm still in it. And that's the part of LA, the superficial part.
Yeah.
That it
very,
took me
very different than New York.
Yeah, yeah, very different from New York. Yeah,
yeah.
It just took me a while to get used to it, and accept it because I didn't understand it. I thought it was unnecessary. I thought if everybody just did what they were supposed to do and did what they said, this thing would still work fine. But that's not the way it is. So then it's just like any type of thing you get used to. Once you get used to it, you can deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, but I mean, that's kind of your story.
Mm-hmm.
Right, in all these different environments, you've had to adjust, adapt, grow up.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right, another voicemail.
Hey, Dr. Drew, my name's Nathan. I always get these giant ass boogers. Like, they're huge. They're like the size of the tip of my pinky. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why am I getting these giant ass boogers? What's going on, Dr. Drew? Definitely gonna come on up in May.
The most common reason for that is people that snort a lot of cocaine. That's what I think of immediately.
Exactly what I was thinking.
When I think of that. But those guys got big-ass boogers. But sometimes it's more a function of a lot of different things. Even just the hair in your nose and stuff that captures stuff. It can be how your you know, the septum is configured and the blood supply there and things. It's just you. And there's even a theory out there I've seen where that nose picking is adaptive for some people. Like they need to get the shit out. On the other hand, I've seen a recent study that showed if you do too much messing around up there, you cause the potential of chlamydia, particularly that organism, getting up to the brain and being associated with dementia.
Oh, shit, I got to stop picking my nose.
So maybe the nose picking has some liability associated. I don't know. Here's a question about coming.
That guy just needs to, listen, you know you get a lot of boogers. Just wash your face and take care of your hygiene before you leave the house. You know what I mean?
Yes, please.
And take it easy on the cocaine, like Dr. Drew says, because that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, this guy's a cokehead.
Didn't we have a video of a guy pulling a ridiculous thing out of his nose? We'd have had that. It just gives me the creeps even think about it. Remember that?
Yeah, from a while ago.
Yeah, what's the matter, Eddie? Doesn't appeal to you?
Yeah, I remember that. That was the one that they did on the live show.
Can I just lay out a suspicion?
Go ahead.
Are some of these guys responsible for these voicemails?
They aren't the ones actually calling. No, no.
You mean us in the booth?
Yeah,
yes. No.
They ask me
to just curate them.
You sure? You look like two of these calls.
these guys ask me shit straight away.
Hold on. Which two?
I'll tell you after.
There's three guys in there. You can see in the corner over there. Yeah. But and he's been standing up for himself lately. Watch out.
Yeah, all right.
He's had an ass full of our bullshit here.
Good for you, man.
All right. Is coming a form of peristalsis, much like the way the large intestine pushes out shit? Yes and no. Peristalsis is spontaneous contracture of smooth musculature. It has a neural network associated with it, but semen is pushed out in spasms that are activated, again, through... Peristalsis suggests that it's kind of continuously going. These are sort of, that's why it's called an ejaculate. It's being pushed out for just a specified period of time in a repetitive fashion. It is smooth muscle to some extent. There's also skeletal muscle involved, but mostly smooth muscle. Yes?
I'm learning so much about coming.
Yeah, you will. Listen to the show.
I wonder if I use that as a way to ask girls to have sex with them, the way you just described it.
Like, would you like to have me spasmodically contract my smooth musculature?
Yeah.
they think that's romantic.
That's romantic. All right, the way you just phrased that, that's poetry. Let's do it right now.
Oh, my God. God, these emails are so crazy. All right, 36-year-old male, no neuropathy, had a physical, nurse practitioner casually mentioned you have a little blood in your urine, but the tests are very sensitive. Could be nothing, but I'll let you know. I was on crutches from a car crash earlier this year. I heard on episode 189 that all forms of blood in the urine are bad other than drinking alcohol regularly at the time. Could a recent car crash have caused this, or is it always something that requires professional help? So it depends what she means. It's a 0 to 2 red blood cells, you're probably okay. And if there's sort of normal, smooth red blood cells, that's especially not a big deal. Just check it again. A couple of red blood cells here and there. It's something worthy of note, but not at all always related to anything at all. Other than being a sexually active male, they're common for that to happen. I don't think it has anything to do with your car accident.
Number one, you're a real doctor, like Jesus Christ. And number two, the listeners to this show refuse to get medical insurance. They're like, let me just send in the email and get this fixed that way and save me some money.
Even when they have insurance, they won't ask a doctor. It's like they're afraid to or ashamed to. Men, you don't want to.
And I feel them on that.
As a male, you don't want to go to a doctor, period. Just don't go. And so like, hey, I know this will be fun. I'll ask him. And the sort of extraordinary thing about shows like this and Loveline that we used to do in the past, the questions always start with the penis. It's always the first place.
Right.
It's never... rarely a rash.
The penis is actually the only time when men will go to the doctor.
If
it's not working.
When it's not working and it doesn't get better. Because usually whatever it is, it'll go away.
Right.
That's actually how men get in trouble. Like with syphilis, the primary lesion goes away. And then you get secondary syphilis. And so that's why we see secondary syphilis, because men just go, hey, if my penis falls off, fine. If it doesn't, I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. And people get into trouble waiting. So don't wait.
Because syphilis ruins your mind, right?
A certain percentage of cases, if you never get it treated, if it really goes on for long periods of time, you can do called neurosyphilis.
Neurosyphilis.
No bueno.
No bueno. No. Damn.
Any questions? You have?
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
What do you got?
I don't know. I might have to go to the doctor now.
Right, I'll help you out. Anything you got? Anything you want in your mind?
I've been forgetting things a lot lately, Dr. Drew. So I'm just wondering.
As long as it's just names.
Names, yes. Yeah. It's just names.
Yes. And as we age, word retrieval, name finding just goes. And the other thing is, when they study aging, sorry, but as we get older, everybody complains about memory. Mm-hmm. And when they study it, really what they find is not so much memory, though word finding is one of the things that is part of it. Mm-hmm. It's actually working memory, which is the ability to hold something in mind while you do something else.
Right.
You kind of lose it. I used to be able to hold three things in mind and do something else and mm-hmm. be working on those three things. Now I got to focus on what I focus on, and that's it. So that's sort of the shrinking of working memory, which fucking sucks.
It's crazy, man. Like me and a bunch of comics, and I thought it was just me, were talking about forgetting names. Yeah. First of all, I was glad that I wasn't the only person.
Yeah. It is a relief when you hear that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a relief. I thought I just really
here we go.
Did too much gummies over the pandemic, and that's what caused it. But it's good to know it's everybody, and it's good to hear you say it. But I could be looking at somebody I know and talking to them and forget their name.
Yes.
And then panic because I have to say goodbye to them, or there's a point in the sentence where their name is supposed to come up. I'm not supposed to know it. And I'm like, I just feel like, damn, I just don't even know how to, but I'm glad you said that.
Well, let me share that misery with you because it happens to me all the freaking time.
Damn.
And it's especially horrible when it's like a family member and you have to introduce them to somebody.
Yes.
And it's like, why am I? I can't remember my wife's name. What is going on here? You know, it's not ever quite that bad, but it gets close sometimes. I mean, people I know well, I'll be looking at and just go, oh my God, this is ridiculous. And then the panic. So that's what you and I share, which is, when you panic, you block.
Yeah.
And now it's impossible. And so what people do is now you try to find strategies to get out of it. And that's, you get to be funny at least. Yeah.
I mean, I was with this girl that I was dating, but I ran into this girl that I like. And so all three of us were standing on the street. And so I introduced the girl that I like into the girl that I was dating.
Oh boy.
But I couldn't remember the name of the girl that I like to introduce her back.
Oh.
But she quickly just said her name.
Oh.
But there was the pause. I'm like, I'm never going to.
You're done.
Yeah. First of all, you see me with another girl.
Yeah.
And then I forgot your name to introduce you to that girl.
Yeah.
I was like, let's go. Come on, let's go.
And women do not accept as an explanation. It's like, no, I liked you so much, I got anxious.
Yeah,
and I got anxious.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, yeah, sure you did.
I actually liked you so much, I premature ejaculated.
It's exactly what happens. Or I couldn't ejaculate. It's like, I was so excited.
This is a compliment. And you're killing me for this compliment.
Oh, my God, that's very funny. All right, voice message. You got one more for me? Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Mr. E from Canada. I've got a question for you. I don't find this sexually appealing, but for some reason, I'm attracted to my neighbor. And the other day, the thought came in my mind that I just want to put her in the tub and piss on her. And I'm not even like home here now. You know, I'm not thinking about moving to 2395 apartment 2C, east side of Harlem.
Oof.
The Robert Wagner housing.
You're scaring me more.
What if my mind is wants me to just put her in a tub and piss on her? Keep it high and tight. Bye.
So, do we have any TikToks from him? He sounds like somebody who might see on TikTok.
I mean, but, not but from the fact Mr.
E. That, yeah, and the fact that he knows Robert Paul's home address, which I've been to his home, and I don't know his home address like that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't have any kind of opinion about what makes somebody into a particular... I mean, there's certain kinks and stuff you can kind of connect sometimes to certain childhood experiences and stuff, but... Mm-hmm. Urinating on people, I mean, usually it's sort of a dominance thing, I guess. But what does that mean for a given individual? I don't know. Any ideas?
First of all, this is definitely one of them.
One of them called?
Yeah, this is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at him. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. I missed
you're
it.
Right at me,
you see which one? You see him?
Yeah, fucking all this time. Yeah, I missed it.
Time. Yeah,
it's
hey, man,
incredible.
That's what I'm here for, man.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. This was one of them, but I'm not going to say which one.
Well, you know, I did speak to Mr. E, and I do have some follow-up things.
Oh, do you?
No, it's not me. No, but
to me, like, what was it? It's not me, Chad. Stop pointing at me. What was interesting to me is that I believe him, and that this
I do too.
And
I
that
do.
This isn't a sexual like preference for him. It's just an intrusive thought that
yes,
keeps recurring.
Correct. That's what he's. Thank you for clarifying, because that is what he described it as, and that's true. And so I'm, you know, what's even if it were a sexual thought, it's sexual in the sense that it's a male female thing. I think he's saying female, right? He didn't even say.
Yeah, he said her in the tub.
Yeah, her. And it just sounds dominant. It sounds dominant, right? I'll stand over her while she's in the tub.
And yeah, and I didn't know if he meant pee on her before he killed her or after he killed her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that information was missing.
But you know what? Uh-huh. Oh, I'm going to say something awful.
That's it. You got to say it.
Well, it's that it feels like it's in the same continuum with that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels like death, murder is next.
I'm not saying it's next,
right.
But I'm saying that kind of dominance thing for some people includes crazy shit like that.
Right, like you wouldn't be surprised if he murdered her after.
I mean, I would be surprised, but I find it odd that it occurs to me that dominance, I don't understand wanting to dominate another person. So when people say it, I get very kind of confused.
So... Like, I like what you said about the dominance thing.
Yeah.
And it might not necessarily be sexual.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much information missing from a person like this.
Correct.
Can this person who left this message still get a hard-on anymore?
Interesting question.
Right?
Or is this a requisite for surrogate for that? Like, it's replacing it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's still with his penis.
That's also really interesting. Yeah.
It's still sexual, and it's still... Like, and if in his mind he believes she wants it and she would like it, then he still gets the satisfaction of like pleasing.
I just maybe a week ago interviewed a guy that studies serial killers and things, and he was telling me about these dominance impulses that people have, and I guess it's way more than we realize. People have these sort of desires that are either sexual or non-sexual,
right,
or back and forth. And it's mysterious to me. I don't quite get that desire to do that, but it is. He was convincing that it clearly happens. Mm-hmm. It's clearly there. It's part of our human experience. And it just occurs to me that the urinating thing, particularly non-sexual, has that same quality to it. Mm-hmm. So you'd wonder with him, do you have kind of aggressive feelings towards women? Is this somebody you desire from afar and you can't have her, therefore you want to do that to her, that kind of thing? No judgment, literally
no judgment.
As long as he doesn't kill her.
Right.
Then I'll do a little judging. Yeah, then I'll do some judging.
If you kill her, we'll judge you.
We're going to judge that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You ever have a fantasy of like saving the life of the woman you like?
Sure.
Yeah, especially when you're young.
Or some sort of saving.
Act of valor.
Yes.
That will get her into you.
Oh, that was way back. It's like, yes, I had that. But it has remained as to be a protector kind of
to
feeling.
Be a protector. Yeah. But that's, to me, this is kind of like an advanced version of that, but kind of means the same thing, you know, because... Like when you save a woman's life in your imagination or do an act of valor in front of her, then she's going to be attracted to you.
You wish, you hope.
And then this kind of is like, this woman is attracted enough to him for her to let him pee on her.
I see. And not kill her.
But does it still doesn't mean he won't kill her.
Right, of course.
You know what
course.
I mean? Like he might not be satisfied. She might be satisfied at just to pee. And like, he's like, no, I got to kill you.
Ian, I love you. I've never gotten so deep into this behavior before. But this is real shit. It's real shit.
Yeah.
All right, give me another one. I want to do some TikToks in a second.
Hey, sure. Dr. Mommy. This is Mello from Michigan. I'm calling to ask you a question about medication. I'm stopping my antidepressant medication because I haven't been in therapy, and I've been just honestly better without it for a while. But I'm noticing one thing. I'm a lot more angry. Like, I'm not suicidal, I'm not depressed or anything like that. Now that I've stopped taking my Zoloft and Wellbutrin, I have random bouts of rage. And is there a way to fix this? Because I don't really like it. Thanks. Yeah. You better believe I'm coming up in May. Love you guys.
So, to quote the great Ian Edwards, the information is left out. I'd like some more information here. Uh-huh. But just to try to piggyback off what you have said, We don't know what you were like before, whether whoever was treating you with the Zoloft and the Wellbutrin had in mind to suppress some of these rages. Mm-hmm. Zoloft does work very well at suppressing irritability and rage. Sometimes irritability can be a sign of the depression coming back before you sort of are aware that the mood is off. But you're really not describing irritability. You're describing sort of rage outbursts, which is a little bit of a different thing. I don't normally experience that as a withdrawal syndrome. And again, we don't know how long you've been off these medications. That would help me if it's been, more, say, more than 2 or 3 months. It's very unlikely that it's anything to do with the medication at all and something to do with whatever the underlying condition was they were treating in the first place. So what can you do about it? I mean, I'll let you sort of struggle with it, Ian. Any thoughts about dealing with explosive rage?
I'm just glad that he's aware of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's aware of it, you know, it's just stay aware of it.
Yeah.
And then maybe if there's like some process that you go through to, you know, when people hyperventilate, they breathe into a bag.
Correct.
If there's like, all right, I'm angry. And then whatever the steps are you do to like take the anger down.
Yeah.
You got to stay on top of it.
Correct. And yeah. Things like cognitive behavioral therapy can be, that's exactly what Ian's talking mm-hmm. about. It can be very helpful for that. But you've said you're not with a therapist. And I don't know if that's a financial thing or a motivational thing, but if you could get in for a little while, even like 3 or 4 weeks, it might really help you sort of get some things in place to help manage this so you don't have to go back on the medication.
Yeah, get the process from them and then leave them.
We are
like, it's like
don't pay that bitch anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I took this acting class once and they charged me just to to audit the class. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Normally you audit for free.
Yes.
And I said, why we got to pay to audit? Because once you learn what you learn, you're going to learn the acting system in this audit.
Yeah.
So whether you come back or not, you're going to know it.
You're going to benefit from it and you're not going to need us anymore.
You're not going to need us yeah. anymore. You might need to come to keep working the muscle every week. So then just go and that's all you can afford. Just
use it. Go and use it. I agree with you. I actually agree with you. But there is embedded in this question is another thing of mm-hmm. the excessive use of medication in this country. Man, we try to solve every problem with a medication. Mm-hmm. And as an immigrant, I bet that strikes you as weird.
Yeah, it does strike me as weird. Yeah. I mean, even therapy, which I agree with, is still weird.
That's true. You know, we run to it.
There's no, when I was growing up in Jamaica, there's no therapist.
Yeah.
That wasn't like a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and you know what else I've noticed, I've been thinking a lot about lately is that we're all running to therapists, but really so much of what's going on in this country right now is really not so much the mental health piece, but the spiritual piece. We are just empty spiritually and this shit just not right.
Yeah.
And we got to get that shit right. And a therapist is not going to get it right. It really is engaging mm-hmm. with humans and the experience here. And I think that's more what other cultures do automatically.
Yeah. Like church is our therapist and you go every Sunday, once a week. But I feel like you could deal with a mixture. I think, you know.
Exactly. There's limits on both. There's limits if you start having serious mental health problems. Church, it's only mm-hmm. going to go so far. You keep relying on mental health treatment or you have a spiritual problem.
Yeah.
Whatever. And again, I'm not personally not saying you need to go to church. I'm saying you got to solve your spiritual problem.
Spiritual.
For some problems, for some people, church is a great way to do it. Mm-hmm. Great way to do it. Speaking of spiritual vacuum, let's go to TikTok.
What's this TikTok guy?
All right, hater fans, that's what I'm calling y'all from now on. I just made an example out of a rude-mouthed young man that had no right to post something, and I assure you that he got shut down bad. You will be next.
Is he missing his front teeth? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like there's some stuff.
Yeah. Okay, is there more to this?
That's the whole thing.
I don't know. Whatever. People doing hateful shit on TikTok. It's an old hat now. Like that hat looks like a toupee though. It's very weird. What is it with older adult males wearing, you know, backwards baseball caps?
I mean, this guy, I just wouldn't mess with him. You know what I mean?
I know you just move away.
Who's sending this guy messages to piss him off?
Well, like, just to fuck with him. It's like poking a bear or something.
But once I see this video, I was in mid typing. To attack him. Let me go attack somebody else. This guy will find you. He's got the time.
Think he likes peeing on kids, women in a tub?
I was thinking about that too. That's funny. I
think it might be.
If you're his neighbor, move.
Give me another one. King, what's it? Uh-oh. Speaking of moving. He's pretty fast. God, it's amazing what meth will do to people.
It sped up a little bit, but, I mean, he's just practicing his martial
arts. All right, good for him. Just people are so impressive. I was, like, looking at the background, trying to figure out where they are. Like, was that?
Yeah, what is that in the background? You said meth before. Is that a meth lab in the background?
It could be, because it looks like bottles of water.
It looks pretty clean, though.
Yeah,
looks
clean. You're right. That is usually a chaos.
Could we get a zoom on that? Like one of those?
Zoom in?
Like the?
Yeah, like we do with our phone?
Yeah.
Ooh, look at that.
I know he's trying to get bitches because his shirt is off.
Of course.
And he's showing that he can protect you. But yeah. Can he protect you from himself?
So what is the impulse in the... Oh, look at all that. We're zeroing in closer now. Yeah,
so he's hydrated.
He's hydrated.
He stays hydrated.
But what is it with guys? Kenshiro, real star official. But with men that aren't able to look at themselves. They aren't able to understand how they are perceived. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that most adolescent males start that way. You know what I mean? They don't know who they are or how they look to other people. And some men never get past that.
Right, right.
And it kind of breaks my heart when I see it. I don't like it.
But, you know, in his defense, which I don't know, I don't know how many followers he has, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes people follow you for the wrong reasons, but
of course.
He let's say he's delusional. He doesn't know why they're following him. He assumes they're following him for the reason that he thinks they're following him that fits his criteria.
Yes.
So he's like, I'm going to keep doing this.
Yes.
Shit.
Yes. The reinforcement. You know? You're right. That's how social media takes people off the rail.
All right.
Let's get another one.
Get ready with me for my ex's funeral. He died last week and I want to go see him so I could say so long. I don't want to put too much makeup on. I don't want to steal the show. You can't forget the lipstick. There it is. He used to like this color. I'm going to pick up a jacket and then I'm going to leave. I'm going to wear my fake fur.
Oh my God.
This is the outfit. This is the outfit. I don't want to look too nice because this is a funeral.
Yeah, of course. I think we're in a trailer there, right? Isn't that what that wood paneling's all about? Like, but you, I look at somebody like that and I go, imagine what she was like at 18 or 24. Is that, I wonder if that's what Adam Carolla calls FHC.
Susan,
I'll tell you in a second. Susan and I were at a bar one night waiting for him, interestingly. Mm-hmm. And this woman assaulted us and she was wasted. I love you, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And she, speaking of not being aware of herself, I mostly the alcohol, but she mm-hmm. really had a sense of herself. And she was an older adult female.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to dinner and Adam goes, oh, sounds like somebody had a run-in with an FHC. And I go, FHC, what's that? He goes, formerly hot chick.
Oh, hilarious.
And I go, oh, wow. Do you think this lady could have been an FHC? Because she doesn't seem to get how she's perceived right now. Like, not age appropriate sort of thing.
I mean, she seems a little CHC to me.
Like currently hot chick.
Currently hot chick.
Hilarious.
Currently hot chick.
I think it's FHC. if at all. If it maybe not, though. You know what I mean? Because there's a definite overlay of humbly and with peace and love, white trash here. A very, very definite white trash overlay. Is you see it?
No. I just think there's this, you know, when old people... This is just old people trying to do young shit
yes.
on the internet.
Yeah, but sometimes it's because they don't perceive their... I don't think I'm as old as I am. Do you think you're as old as you are? You know?
No, I definitely don't.
Imagine if that were really bad. Right. Like you were very old and you still thought you were 22.
Yeah, she's acting like, you know, those makeup tutorials.
Yes, yes.
Where girls are like, get ready with me. I'm going to a this, I'm going to a that.
Yes.
So she's doing that, but that's like... some 20-year-old
yes
shit.
That's what I, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's exactly I think what that is. And now let me give you a confession. Mm-hmm. So I've been working on, like, I spoke French for many, many years, and I got really shitty at it. I wanted to get back to more conversational France. We're going to French this, this summer. And I started watching a lot of YouTube videos, and I started, I like people that speak certain kind of French, like perfect French. And I found it was all young females doing makeup tutorials. And so, and in French, it's called maquillage. And so I have a whole library of maquillage videos.
You're watching them.
Oh, fais le maquillage.
You're watching them to learn French. All right.
So if you go on my phone, you see a bunch of makeup tutorials. That's what it is. I'm not cross-dressing on Friday.
As long as your wife buys it, that's all that
matters. That's really the matter.
And she wants to go to France.
There's not a lot of cool Jews.
Which is true, and this is further proof of that. We started with racism, we're ending with racism.
You mean I can find Duolingo and you can't find
No, I do. I had to laugh at myself because by the time, if you look at my YouTube pages, I've got a bunch of these women doing, say, they're really not just makeup tutorials, but sort of product reviews, and they're influencers. French have a very rich world of influencers. These women make a lot of money.
Right.
So they're like 3 million followers just for talking about you know, lip gloss and you know, sort of steamers and just crazy stuff.
That old lady was one of the people that was influenced.
You're right. You know? That's right. Yeah. That's true. I have patients that age. They get very influenced by stuff, and they buy stuff off QVC and things. And they're when they die, their home's filled with a bunch of unopened boxes.
You know what's funny? Like when I was a kid, my parents looked older than they were. I think back when we were younger, our parents and older people
looked their age.
Afraid
to be their age. I know. Listen, when you
but now older people, including me, we don't want to look our age. She doesn't want to look her age. She doesn't want to be the age that she is. It's like we just it's a different type of we're a different breed of like. Of like people.
So go on. I've been studying some of the television on MeTV, like it's anthropology research.
Hilarious.
And you go look at the Love Boat and you see the actors and actresses that come in there. They paraded through some of the greats. You know, Shelley Winters on there, Ernest Borgnine on there. You know, people from the golden era of Hollywood came in there. And you look up their age. They have beehive hairdos. They look 75. Many of them younger than me.
Oh shit! That's
many
crazy.
Of them. Many of them. And you look at that, and you just go, "Oh my god!" And people sort of looked forward to being mature. They would sort of accentuate some of that stuff around age 45.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd start to look old
because you had people like Sinatra in his prime. He was what? 60s.
Yes, 50s, 60s. 60s. Yeah.
So like you look forward to like being James Bond was like.
Yeah. So what did they call Sinatra when he was 70? Chairman of the board. And so being old had respect and you'd look forward to that and being respected. Ain't none of that now.
No, you're right,
now,
right.
How do you dress like this? You dress with a hoodie.
Yeah,
you dress
yeah.
down. You look like you're not like yeah, you're exactly. either a kid and certainly not the chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Because they park older people now. It's over for you.
I think it's part us and part society. We don't want to get old, and we have the advantage of living in a time when you can exercise and nutrition and thing and do things to kind of push it back a little bit. And I recommend it. I recommend it to everybody. But we live in a time when think about Don Draper in 1963, he's 45 years old, sitting in first class with his skinny tie, and a dad and a son walk by, and the dad goes, "Look, son, one day you work hard, you could be like him." Now you walk past the guy, you go, "Fuck that guy.
Right.
What's up with that asshole?" Uh-huh. You know, it's weird. We've just completely shifted our sense of what is respectful or who should be respected. And I don't know, good or bad. What do you think?
There's always good and
good
bad.
Good and bad.
There's always good and bad to good and bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah.
Ian, it has been a pleasure. Our time here is up. We will. Anything you want to promote? Tell people about. When are we? Where are we here in the calendar, Nadav?
Should be around January 27th.
All right.
Like you mentioned before, just go to my Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic, and you can hit the link tree in the bio. And all my upcoming dates will be there. I'll have updated it by the time this airs.
Yes, so this date's there. Ian Edwards Comic. Ian Edwards Comic. We'll see you guys there, and we'll see you all next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.